Oh, wow. It's time for Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.
It is indeed time for Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT. Thank you, MOTAT.
Thank you.
How's it, Marcus?
It's good.
Talk about arteries.
Yeah,
hardening arteries.
Hardening arteries. And so this is something that came out just recently. And for many of you know that hardening arteries is associated with heart disease and dementia, high blood pressure, and you know, bad things that you tend to get when you get older. And the causes of this were pretty unknown. They didn't really know what was going on. But it's been discovered that a molecule that was thought to, which is supposed to be repair DNA. So DNA, when you get older, gets a bit raggedy.
Right.
And there's repair mechanisms to keep it all nice and fresh. But that molecule itself is responsible, it seems, for building up calcium deposits in your arteries and stiffening the arteries. So they get all stiff and they're not able to function properly. And this molecule, poly-ADP ribose, or PAR. It's associated with DNA repair, but it's responsible for these sort of calcification, like bone-like calcifications in arteries.
What? So we're talking about arteries becoming bones?
Well, it's the same. Yeah, it's the same sort of material.
Not to the same extent,
yeah,
though, maybe.
No, but it stiffens them up.
When you say, so the same molecule, surely if it's got two jobs, it would be doing those two jobs its whole life? Or is this just a thing that gets worse as you get older?
Well, obviously, yeah, your body deteriorates, your DNA deteriorates more when you get older. But there's also environmental factors that cause DNA deterioration. So certainly smoking is a contributing factor. It mm-hmm. causes DNA damage. And, you know, other environmental factors. But so maybe, you know, and we're certainly living longer, so this molecule...
gets tired.
Well, this molecule has more to do as we get older, but also as we are smoking and we're drinking and we're doing all that sort of stuff as well. So... But it turns out, so this is basically a 10-year study.
How do we fix this?
Possibly, potentially, really quite easily. So they figured out that this molecule was responsible for DNA for the calcification in your arteries. But they also screened a bunch of molecules that potentially could counteract this sort of DNA repair molecule and reverse the damage.
Wow!
And it turned out that they wanted to just look at chemicals that we had been already trialed in humans, so they didn't have to go through lengthy trials and things like that. And they found that they found one and a molecule that is usually used to treat acne, so it's well used in humans, could actually reverse this process,
right,
and limit the damage. And so they're hoping to go for trials in the next 12 to 18 months or so.
What do they do, though? Do they just redirect that? Or?
Yeah, I guess it's ingested. I'm not really sure.
But if you... Okay, so this doesn't necessarily mean, though, that you can just continue smoking or drinking or what... In terms of the environmental factors.
If you want to limit the damage to your DNA and then hence limit the sort of ongoing damage and hardening of your arteries... Yeah, please stop smoking.
Okay.
You know, I mean that's a big factor. But it's associated with getting old, and there's an interesting one. It's actually quite sad. So even kids, especially if they're on dialysis, it accelerates this process. So dialysis can cause early onset heart disease and things like that. So it's really important that we were able to counter this.
Mm.
So it's one thing getting old, but if it's happening through because of dialysis and other things like that, then it's really potentially important.
Right. Okay. Speaking of life expectancy.
Yes.
And population growth. Let's talk about that.
So there's currently about 7 and a bit billion of us on this planet, and the United Nations has now forecast that we're going by 2050. There's going to be 9.7 billion of us on the Earth. And this is a lot of people, obviously, but it's not all sort of everyone's growing, yeah? So mm. there are some countries that are responsible for a lot of growth, and so there are 9 countries, actually, which is sort of staggers me, just 9 countries out of however many, nearly 200 on the planet, 9 countries responsible for more than half the projected population growth between now and 2050. So just 9 countries. And this, a few were expected, but not all of them. So in descending order, so the most growth first is India. It's going to account for the biggest growth. But Nigeria, Pakistan, Congo, Ethiopia, Tanzania, Indonesia, Egypt, and the US. Combined, right. they're gonna account for more than half the projected growth, which sort of surprised me. There's some countries in there that I wouldn't have expected to see, but a lot of several sub-Saharan African countries, where the population is predicted to nearly double by 2050.
Mm.
And so there's a lot of reasons for this. So the world's population is getting older. But there's also falling fertility levels, so there's counters to that. The global fertility rate fell from 3.2 to 2.5 births, and it's supposed to decline even further to just over 2.2 births by 2050. And this is another thing I found interesting, that if the Earth retained a fertility rate of 2.1 average, you know, births per woman on the planet, the population would be steady. Would stay the same. Yeah. So if we dip below 2.1, population starts declining.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not going to keep, going and going. At some point, it's going to turn over, not too far beyond 2050.
And they're quite certain of that.
Yes. And in fact, populations are projected to decrease by 1% in more than 55 countries. And 26 countries are going to see a reduction of at least 10% of their population. That's a huge amount of people.
I find this quite interesting because of that in talking about increasing life expectancy. As we are more technologically able, we sort of, you know, it means that we can live longer. We can fix all these things that are wrong. Eventually, you know, I don't know what the goal is, or if people are working on this kind of, you know, immortal life thing. But this is something that we are going to have to deal with, right, in terms of actually an aging population
in most
places.
And we are dealing with it. I mean, there's a lot of countries where, yes, the aging population far outnumbers the younger populations.
And that brings its own sort of concerns.
That's right. So there's multiple factors that cause these, you know, increases in some countries and decreases in others. One thing that they mentioned at the end of the report was migration. And so migration, obviously, it can be a major component of population growth in some countries where all the migrants are heading to, but loss in others. So the net growth is neutral, I guess. But between 2010 and 2020, just in the last decade or so, 14 countries saw a net inflow of more than 1 million migrants. And 10 countries saw a similar loss. So in particular, the net inflow countries included Belarus, Estonia, Germany, Hungary, Italy, Japan, Russia. So mainly somewhat more affluent European countries have seen quite major population growth, not through fertility, but through migration.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on that one as well. Last topic. This one actually was talked about this morning a little bit on breakfast. So
okay.
I guess people are talking about it. but the science of it, perhaps. Apparently, we made puppy dog eyes. Two is clapping silently. Are you excited to talk about this?
Yeah, I like puppies. Who doesn't like puppies?
Of course.
What is it about these puppy dog eyes? What's
well, we, the... we so natural selection. So we have... you know, species evolve, and natural selection causes some to survive and develop rather than others. But in this case, it seems to be us that are doing the selecting with dogs. So we have this natural attraction to dogs with sort of the big round puppy dog eyes, and because they look a little bit like human babies. And we have this attraction towards them. We feel an emotional connection towards them. And so over the last however many thousands of years, we have tended to keep the puppies with the puppy dog big round eyes, and maybe the ones that don't have those don't fare so well.
Wow.
And so, so there's evidence now that we've cared more for dogs with that look. And effectively selected.
Oh my gosh!
Selected for those. I mean,
and probably breeded more of those ones.
And probably bred more breeded, bred. Breaded. Hopefully not breaded.
Breaded.
More of those dogs, yeah.
Whoa, okay. But there was also, they tested, how did they figure this out?
I think this is looking back at, I think this is doing a genetic study, looking back at older species of dogs, looking back in at archaeological records, pictures, and things like that, and this they see differences in muscles around the eyes that raise the eyebrows that are highly developed in dogs that we select for. But in wolves, sort of the ancestor of all dogs, they are not so developed, and they don't have the same sort of. We don't go, oh, look, there's a cute little wolf.
Cute wolf. I suppose you wouldn't survive long if you're a wolf used puppy dog eyes to.
I don't know.
To survive rather than actually just being like, rah!
I'm going to eat you. Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, it's not like we haven't selected for many, many other traits in dogs and other animals. So, you know,
what does this sort of mean, though, in terms of our ability of playing? You know, deciding what dogs get to live and die or continue.
Only the cute survive, but the cute survive.
But that's pretty full on, right? Yeah. That's quite a big.
So you've got to be cute, but then you've got to be able to, you know, catch the dinner and herd the sheep and do everything else that dogs have been.
You've got to look good to be good.
And look good, yeah, exactly.
But I guess there are lots of different dogs, that are doing different things.
Yeah.
And so.
But they've all got big round puppy dog eyes.
Crazy. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Marcus.
Thank you very much.
We will talk to you in 2 weeks.
Yes, you will.
And we've sat on that sort of discussion around the climate deteriorating.
The world is going to
30
end.
30 years. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll wait another couple of weeks. Hopefully, it hasn't ended by then.
All right. Well, see you in a couple of weeks.
Mind blown. That was Dear Science, thanks to MOTAT, Auckland's Museum of Transport and Technology.